Beautiful. Hey, isn't it good to get excited about Jesus? Amen. Yes, man. I love him. I want God to use me mightily. Hey, who agrees? Yeah. Hey, I want to be like passionate for him. And it's like just one song like that makes me like, yeah, come on. Today I'm going to live for everything. Everything for him. And I trust that you would have that heart every day. And so I'm going to kick off by preaching this morning. Good morning. Well done for making it through the traffic. And if it's affected, obviously it didn't affect you guys. You just got in your cars like you normally do and come. And we had to go Malibongwe and then down the highway and then on William Nicol, and we went around Sloan and down Main, and we are quicker than we are any other Sunday. So now I know there's like more time I can do for Sunday prep, like a few more minutes. And we just do that route every Sunday. Anyway, cool. Hey, man, the Lord bless you. Today I'm trusting that you're all going to be used by the Lord. His Spirit is going to do amazing things among us. There was a psalm that was shared in our prayer meeting this morning, Psalm 147, and Nadia brought that scripture. And I tell you, it's almost exactly what I feel God's wanting to do through the preach and through ministry and through worship this morning. Psalm 147, it says, I'm just going to start at verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God." I mean, isn't that true? It's good to sing praises to our God. You know, it's so much different when you're either asking God something or you're praising God for something. How many of you know it's better to be praising God for something? You know, maybe you've got the thing you were asking for, but even if you haven't got the thing that you're asking for, but you just praise Him, such a good place to be. Such a place of abundance. It says, "Praise, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem." Now let's think about it for us too. This is, in the Old Testament, obviously Jerusalem is Jerusalem, but for us, it's the people of God. So God builds up His people. He gathers the outcasts. He heals the brokenhearted, and He binds up their wounds. So Lord, I want to ask You, Lord, I want to praise You that You've already spoken this word to us, that this is what You're wanting to do this morning. I want to praise You, God. It's fitting to praise You. Thank You, Jesus, that You've told us that You want to build us up and that you want to heal and You want to bind up our wounds. God, we worship You. We thank You for that. We anticipate Your presence among us as You do what You've promised to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. So, how many of you know we're living in exciting times? These are very, very, very exciting times to be alive. For one, these are the days of the Spirit of God. You thought I was going to say something about a president or about a government or something like that. These are the days of the Spirit of God released over us. These are the days between the time when Jesus died, Jesus resurrected, ascended into heaven, and poured out the Holy Spirit. And it's from that time that the church on the earth is God's expression on the earth, and God is doing something in His church by His Spirit. He's doing amazing things by His Spirit. And it's between that time when Jesus poured out His Spirit and the time when we are taken up to be with Jesus when He comes again. So how many of you know Jesus is coming again? If you've never heard that, Jesus is returning. The last words that He said before He ascended into heaven as the resurrected God who's destroyed death. Jesus conquered death. He said, "I am coming back." And so He left saying, "I'm coming back." And then He said this, "I'm going to give you the Spirit. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you My presence. I'm going to be right among you." Not like Richard. If I want Richard to be at my house, but he's somewhere else, I don't get two Richards. There's only one Richard. If he's there, he's not there. If he's there, he's not there. And Jesus said, "It's better that I go, because when I go, I will come to you in the Holy Spirit." And in other words, where Jesus was one man in one place at one time in a physical body, He says, no, it's better what's to come. Because now He's everywhere by His Spirit. And His Spirit dwells inside believers, which is the church of Jesus Christ. So that's an exciting thing to be a part of. That was exciting for the church on the first day that the church started. They were like, "What? We can't believe this is what You meant." Like, we will, "No, don't go, Jesus, please." Like, holding onto His, like, shoes as He's shooting up into the sky. And He's like, "No, that's not what I meant. Watch, when I come." And He poured out His Spirit. And the Spirit was manifest across the whole, all the believers at that time. And His Spirit is among us today. He hasn't left.
He hasn't come again. He's coming again. So until that time, there's something exciting for us to do. We get to live out as a spiritual people with Jesus in us in a world that seems quite broken and messed up, isn't it? How many of you would agree the world has got some issues? People have some issues. You know, you always have issues. But Jesus comes and he deals with that. Jesus forgives us of our sin, forgives us of the things other people have done to us, forgives them of that, and he forgives us of the stuff that we've done to others. He forgives us of what we've done to God, and he sets us free of the things that God could do to us, but he doesn't. You know, God could punish us for our sin, but he won't because of Jesus. And so now in the earth, he is redeeming, and he is saving, and he's reaching. And Rudy had a picture this morning. Where's Rudy? Rudy had a sense of God, of Jesus begging the Father for time. And I tell you, it's just interesting because I believe that Jesus knows the time that he's going to come again. But he intercedes for us. And if anybody needs time, it's us. And if anybody's going to be praying the right kind of prayer, it's like, Lord, give me time before you come so that I can reach more people. And so Jesus takes that prayer of ours and puts it before the Father and says, Father, give them time. And then the Lord is pouring out his Spirit for us. He's giving us the time. He's giving us the energy. He's giving everything we need. Guys, these are the end times. All right, so these are exciting times to be alive. I hope you've changed your perspective of these times. These are very exciting times to be alive from a spiritual point of view because Jesus is coming back. But these are also days, and I think I can categorize it like this. These are days of many words. This is the information age. And I tell you what, I don't know that I've never seen so many opinions taking space like I have in these days. Am I right? Everyone's got an opinion and everyone wants to be heard and everyone can be. It's probably the same as days gone by, but now it's like, everyone's opinion counts, and everyone's got a thought and a word, and you know what? There's many words. And you've got to be careful what you listen to now, because there's more people on the face of the planet than there's ever been. Do you know that? Statistically, there are more people on the planet today than has ever been in history. So that means there's a lot more things being said. And our capacity, I think we've got quite a big capacity compared to what people had in the past because we take in so much. We're getting so much information. And a lot of people know stuff now at a younger age than they knew when they were like older. You know? And so there's all this information coming. And so, guys, how do we keep ourselves, honestly, folk, how do we pay attention to the right stuff? Let's pay attention because there's a lot of things being said. And a lot of people say things saying God's saying. But he might not be saying that. And maybe he is, but not to us. So let's get clear about what is he saying and what are the right words to follow. Now listen to these proverbs. Now there's lots of words around the world today. It says Proverbs 12 verse 6, it says this, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. Which mouth would you prefer to have? Words of the wicked or mouth of the upright? Okay. Verse 13, it says, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. Guys, it's by what somebody says. A president is elected because of what he says. It doesn't mean he's going to actually do it. But we base a lot of what goes on in our lives by what people are saying. Okay? Then still in Proverbs 12, verse 14. From the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. Verse 17, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. Verse 18, there is one whose rash words are like a sword that thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Hey. Verse 19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is for a moment. Would you like your words to last forever? Then speak the truth. Hey, lies are bad news. I know. You tell a lie, then you forget what you said. Then you've got to lie again to cover the lie. Or then when the truth comes out, now you've got to make up other stories. Or just be truthful. Just let it out. Stay true. It's the safest, but it gives you security. It's a wonderful thing to be. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Wow, man. Gracious words. You know, if you're sick, you just need somebody to bring you some gracious words. It says it's healing to your body. Proverbs 10, verse 19 to 21. When words are many, and this is like today, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. You know, when somebody's talk, they're going to, hang on, there's something wrong here. If you've got to say, or you've got to talk around it, then you're like, okay, well, you know, so there's something's not lacking. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. It's not far away. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. You know, my wife, Sharissa, she's in the meeting. I can't say anything that is not the truth. There she is. She'll remind me. But she doesn't speak a lot. But I tell you, when she does, it's like, there's the truth. And so she's considered prudent because she restrains her lips. The Proverbs 10, verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. So this thing of words are many, transgression is not lacking. Even when it comes to spirituality, Jesus warns this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. He says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. So how does one distinguish all these words? Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. Matthew chapter 12. And this is what Jesus says. Matthew 12 verse 33 to 37. A tree is known by its fruit. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers. So now he's talking to the Pharisees. They were saying a whole lot of things about Jesus, which wasn't the truth. You brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's a key verse. Out of the abundance, whatever's stored up in your heart, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. Many always used to say, you know, when you go to the doctor takes out that stick and he puts it in your mouth. He sticks it in your mouth and he says, and then he looks at your tongue. And when he sees your tongue, then he knows what's going on in your body, isn't it? When he checks your tongue, he knows if there's something wrong in your stomach. You know, so I can tell what's going on in you by what's coming out of your mouth. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, sure, what's in the heart? What's stored up in there? The mouth is speaking. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. So rather keep the words less and keep them good. I think I'm going to be in trouble. I'm a preacher. I mean, I talk a lot. I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't believe how many careless words I spoke. They're going to be like a pile like this. Anyway, the words and it says, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. And again, Matthew 15, verse 10 to 20. I love looking at the teaching of Jesus. I tell you, next year we are going to focus on what Jesus taught us. We're going to learn so much. Not just that, there's a whole lot of things, but effectively everything that Jesus taught us. We're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount. I'll touch on a little bit of that next week when we talk about vision for next year. But the words of Jesus, any of those red letters, man, they're good for you. Let your heart be full of the red letters, and you'll see the red letters come out your mouth. And it's a whole other world. Matthew 15, verse 10 to 20. What defiles a person? And he called the people to him and he said to them, hear and understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of your mouth that defiles a person. Huh? When the disciples came to him, they said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you saying this? Jesus, I'm so glad he's not a people pleaser. And he answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They're blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a pit. And Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled in the toilet? That's what it's Jesus. He's like, don't you understand? What does it say in yours? If there's a little footnote there, it'll actually say latrine. Yeah, passes through and gone. Verse 18, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false witness and slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat what with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. So it's not about what you're putting in. It's about what's coming out. It's the heart. The heart is the source. So it's key then to find out what's in the heart. And let's do a little bit of heart surgery. I love the imagery in this next passage in James. James chapter 3. I hope you don't mind me reading the scriptures. The Bible says we need to publicly read scripture. It's much better, eh? You're getting the good stuff when I'm reading the Bible. The other stuff is commentary. James 3 verse 1 to 12. This is such a powerful, powerful portion of scripture, guys. This is going to help you in your marriages, help you with raising your children, help you just in your workplace, everywhere. Now, I know you by what comes out of your mouth. I know you because you talk. You know, if you never say anything, I don't really know you. I can see what you do and I can see what you're about and I can see your values. But when you're talking, that's when you get to know people. Ah, my name is Brad. That's when you know my name because I tell you. And so there's a lot of things that happen by speaking. Like you, when you go into an interview, you can't sit there. When they ask you a question, you've got to answer. You know, so what you say is actually determining your destiny for your life. What you say will determine the eternity on your life. I mean, this the mouth, it's been made by God to be like God's mouth. God's mouth says, let there be light, and there's light. This morning, driving in the car, Ethan is talking to Bethany, and he says to her, Jesus is actually the sun. He's talking about the one in the sky, the one that brings the light. Because while we're driving, the light was shining on Carter's face, and he says, the sun is shining on Carter's face. I'm like, oh, that's great. And then he says, Jesus is actually the sun. So I thought, well, I said, there's two kinds of sun, my boy. There's you, my son, Ethan, and there's the sun in the sky. And Jesus is the Son of God, but he made that sun, so he's different. So he's like, oh. And so, he's going to grow in his understanding that Jesus just said, let there be light. And he spoke a sun. I mean, you know, God can create by what he says. You know? So we're made in his image and his likeness. You creating a future for yourself by what you say. Effectively, you're creating it by what you're thinking in your heart. Because the mouth's giving away what's in the heart. So what are you getting in the heart? Because that's going to determine a whole lot. Make sure your heart, guard your heart. Make sure it's got the right stuff getting in. Look at this, James chapter 3. I love the imagery again. Taming the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. This is the truth for me and for anyone who's teaching. For we all stumble in many ways. Anybody witness with that? Okay. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man or woman. Able also to bridle his whole body. Any of you got a body that's out of control? If your body's out of control, you just have to start with your tongue. If you get your mouth right, you can get your whole body right. Huh? That's what it says. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guard the whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are guarded by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. Oh my gosh, Lord, help me with my tongue. Anyone? It's like a world of unrighteousness in the tongue, oh Lord. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. So that's before Jesus, right? Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. You know, your salvation is in the confession. Jesus is Lord, from your lips. Your eternity is changed by what you say. How powerful is that? So, verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From my brothers, these ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? No. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives and a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Man. So, I mean, what we're looking for is a fruitful mouth. Who wants a fruitful mouth? What we want is a fruitful mouth from a heart full of refreshing springs. Isn't that beautiful? So, give us Jesus, Lord, right now, pray for all of us. Give us springs of living water in our hearts, that our mouths might be bridled and used to set another kind of fire for you and for your glory. Now, John 6, verse 63, this is an incredible verse. He said, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. It's powerful, folk. He says, my words are spirit and life. It's like if you hear Jesus speaking, it's because the Spirit is bringing it to you. And if you hear Jesus speaking, life is entering you. And so you want to be in a place where you're hearing and you're under the kind of tap, under the fireman's hose of living water and spirit and life pumping over you daily. That's why you want to read your Bible every day. Flesh is not going to help you every day. Flesh is going to get you more and more in trouble. But spirit, Jesus' words, bringing spirit and life is going to change you. I tell you, you start to then walk around as a spring of living water. You start to have a heart of abundance, and out of your mouth is coming things that are blessing and lifting up people. It's a great thing to be. So his words to us are spirit and life. There's some beautiful scriptures that confirm this. In John chapter 3, verse 34, there's this wonderful link between the spirit and the word all the time. John 3, verse 34, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Why would God need to give the Spirit without measure? The context is the one that he sent has the words of God. When you've got the Spirit, you speak differently. When your heart is full of the Spirit, different things come out of your mouth. 2 Samuel 23, verse 2, this is the King David. He's saying this, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me, his word is on my tongue. The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me, his word is on my tongue. Isaiah 59, this is the prophet Isaiah now speaking, and he says in verse 21, and as for me, this is my covenant with them, God speaking, says the Lord, my spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your offspring or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth forevermore. That's when, if Jesus has the Spirit without measure so that he can speak the words of God, the prophet is saying, this is the covenant that God has with you, that when his Spirit is upon you, you're going to speak his words, and those words are going to change generations. Not just your kids, but your grandkids. My grandfather, Grandpa Barney, if you look at my little boy Carter, he looks like my Grandpa Barney. Ethan and Bethany have never met Grandpa Barney. He's no longer with us. But when they see Carter, they say, hello, Biney, just because I've been calling him that. But my grandfather gave me the Bible. When I was born again, he gave me a Bible. When I was ordained as a leader in the church, he gave me a Bible. There was, I think at the handover, he gave me a Bible. There was every time he gave me a Bible, and he made sure that I had which would outlast him. And so that one day I would be with him because he gave the Bible. When my grand passed away, my grandfather joined the Gideons and went and took the word to as many hospitals that he could in Impangeni and just dished it out everywhere he could. The Bible. He lived by that thing. The word. I tell you, I am here today because of my grandfather. My first experience of my grandfather in church was him standing up, bringing tongues and interpretations in an Assemblies of God church in Maritzburg. As a 4 or 5-year-old, first experience of church was my granddad bringing tongues. I'm like, oh, that's what they do, yeah. And so he was a man of the word. And now there's something that's come to his offspring. God's word is true. That covenant is coming to me. It's going to come to my children, my grandkid one day in Jesus' name. So Jesus in Luke 14, he says, Luke 4 verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, what? To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit is on me to say something. When the Spirit comes on you, when the Spirit is in you, the Spirit fills your heart, you're going to say stuff. We need Jesus' words. We need Jesus' Spirit. I mean, we know that proverb. We know it well, some of us. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. What you say can kill and can give life. So we need Spirit-controlled tongues. Anyone? Spirit-controlled tongues. Look what happens when the Spirit is poured out in Acts. Acts chapter 2 verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Give your tongue over to the Spirit. You know, some people, they battle with speaking in tongues. And tongues is a gift from God in the Bible because it says it builds us up. And so, understand this, the only reason why it's building you up is because when you're speaking in tongues, it's the overflow of what God's doing inside. His Spirit is in your heart. I tell you, when I start to speak in tongues, it has the reverse effect as well. I feel His presence fill my heart. Who would not want that everywhere? That's what Paul says, and we're going to get to it now. He says, I pray in tongues more than you all. And I want you to pray in tongues. What he's really saying is, I want you to be full of the Holy Spirit in your heart. He's asking not just for the cause, not just for the effect, but the cause. The cause is the Spirit in your heart overflowing. I mean, and who can do with a controlled tongue? So praying in tongues is not uncontrolled. Praying in tongues is actually the best way to control your tongue and give it over to God. But sometimes people don't want to speak in tongues because they think, no, I'm losing control. Good. How much good have you done with your controlled tongue? You know, give it over to Him completely. And so, with these words, all these words speak to, you know, with our words we can break and divide, but with our words we can also build up. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, bit of 13, bit of 14. And then, we're going to worship and we're going to bless God with our lips. Amen. Who wants to do that? And after we've blessed God with our lips, we're going to bless each other. Who wants to do that? In an atmosphere of His presence and in an atmosphere of worship, we're going to bless each other. We're going to, if you break up into 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever in groups, and whatever, if God is placing things in your heart, go and just bless people with words. You know, it's not the hardest thing in the world. What's the nicest thing you want someone to say to you? Just go say it to someone else. Hello? Do you want somebody to say something nice to you? Say that thing. And you might get 10 other people saying something nice to you. I tell you, it's amazing what can happen when our mouths are open for the Spirit of God. And it's not going to just be us making up stuff. I'm telling you now, in an atmosphere where we are honoring God, and in a place where we are together for Jesus, I promise you now, Jesus is going to speak. You will hear Him speak through everyone in this place. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Have a look at this. Notice how many times it talks of this thing that I'm talking about, spirit and words. Spirit and words. 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. What does mute mean? Doesn't speak. However you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. No one who's really got the Spirit can actually curse Jesus. Oh, what if somebody denies Christ? Then, I don't know, is the Spirit really in you? Because no one who's really got the Spirit, you got Him inside you. How are you going to curse Him? He doesn't curse Himself. Hello? And then it says, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And this is with meaning. I'm not sure anybody can say Jesus is Lord. I'm like, oh, what happened? Did anything happen there? No. But if the Spirit is in you and you're saying Jesus is Lord, that there's power. So it's by the Spirit that we acknowledge Jesus is Lord, that we say it and mean it and know that His salvation has come. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each, can someone say to each? To each, that's you, that's me, that's everyone here, is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Greg Garrett was quite funny on that point when he was with us 2 weeks ago. He was like, don't tell me you don't have a manifestation of the Spirit. Because then you're saying that you're the only one that the Spirit has forgotten to give a manifestation, because it says to each is given a manifestation. It was quite sarcastic. I thought it was funny. Did you guys think it was funny? It made the point. That's what we need. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Not for your good. For the good of everyone else. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. There's a speaking thing by the Spirit. And to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. How do I know you've got faith? You're going to speak it. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wants to. That's His will. It's beautiful, eh? He wants to use you. He's going to use you. Most of these are speaking gifts. A lot of them are maybe internal. Miracles, faith, those things can be external. But a lot of them, the majority, are what you say. So how do you know if you're a Christian? Well, 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 10 verse 8 to 10 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes, and out of the abundance, and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Isn't that beautiful? So it's got to come out. It needs to show itself. It needs to manifest. Hebrews 10 then encourages us. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. So keep saying what you feel by the Spirit to say. And so the presence of the Spirit in you results in Him wanting to manifest through you. How? How do we do this? Well, 1 Corinthians 13 is the motivation for all that we do. Love. I promise you, if you love, you can never do the wrong thing. If you love someone, if you want to act in love, you're never going to do the wrong thing. Even if you do the wrong thing, it can be perceived by whether you're loving or not. But by loving, you're not going to step out of line. By loving, you're gonna bless, you're gonna help, you're gonna care for. If somebody needs love in a certain way, love doesn't give it to them in another way. That's my baby. Carrying Carter. There, you got it. I love that baby, man. You know, when he's crying because his nappy's wet, I'm not going to try and stick a bottle in his mouth. If I love him, I'm going to try and deal with, and deal with him in the way that he needs to be loved. Am I right? So loving is, you're always going to do the right thing if you're going to be loving. You're going to be like, oh, well, I tried to love you and it didn't work because I'm not loving you anymore. Well, then you didn't love at all. Or I've just been loving all day and you don't see it. Well, have you really loved at all? It needs to be received. It needs to be impacted. It has to touch. So then we get to this amazing priority and emphasis and nature of what it is we need to be saying and why in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Check this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Are you all good? In this world of words, in this world between when Jesus has come and Jesus is returning, there's some things that we can pay attention to. And so, here it says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, what prophesy is effectively God's words in your heart through your lips. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For one, no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, so that's a good thing to have. It's not negating it, but it's just showing you its proper place. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. That's so beautiful. That's the kind of prophetic word we've been encouraged to give. Not, I know someone here, says the Lord, has been sinning. You go to some prophets and that's what they like. Let me quickly show that illustration. Hilton and Ian. A guy by the name of Graham Cook had a prophetic word come to him that there was a man in the life of the church that was... The picture that he had was of a man holding a dagger over the pastor in the church. Okay? So Hilton, you be the guy with the dagger. If there's anything in your heart, the Lord's going to deal with it. No, I'm kidding. So he brought the guy. He said, come and hold the dagger up. Mm-hmm. So he held the dagger up. So imagine what's going on in this guy's heart. He's already like, oh, Lord, he's exposing my sin. Okay? He says, why don't you come up, hold this dagger. And then he says, and pastor, would you come up? And yes, Pastor Ian. And he puts Pastor in here, and then he says to the guy, he says, turn around, and he says, and hold the dagger out there, and he says, what we need is people who will stand back to back with their pastors with daggers out to anyone who tries to attack. What a powerful picture. Can you imagine how this guy's heart was changed instantly, and this guy felt like he had backing from people in his church. Just by the way, the prophetic word was brought in. There was a sin issue, but the way it was released was encouraging, a building and consoling for everyone. Powerful, eh? Good. Hey, that's amazing. Grant Cook. So, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and their encouragement and their consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. All right, so you need to be built up yourself. Hello? Ask God for tongues. More than that, ask God for His Spirit to fill your heart. Okay? But you need to be built up. You have to be built up. And I can't build you up. Only the Spirit can do it for you. Am I right? But I can prophesy and I can encourage, and that would be the Spirit speaking to you and would build you up. So we have a responsibility to be built up ourselves and build others up. It's beautiful. So, the one who speaks in the tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Come on, man. Who wants to be built up? Who wants to be strengthened? Who wants to be encouraged? Courage put in. Who wants to, and especially in these last days? Now, I tell you, now I want you all, this is why. He says, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more. From that step one, baby step, speak in tongues, but even more. Step two, prophesy. Because when you build up yourself, you can build others up. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. So somebody might bring a tongue, the other guy will bring the instruction or prophetic word, and people will be lifted up. Verse 6, now brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you? See, the point is benefit. Benefit you, unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching. If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give a distinct note, how will anyone know what is being played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, how will anyone get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is being said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I'll be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in not just step one, but in step two, excel in building up the church. Verse 13, therefore, no one speaks in a tongue. The one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may also interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, and my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray in my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I'll also sing praise with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So I'm encouraging you to pray 10,000 words in a tongue so that at least you can have 5 words that build someone else up. It's powerful, eh? And so it's not throw out the one and only have the other. It's both, but use them correctly. Verse 20, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Do not be infants with regards to evil. Oh, that's a good one, eh? Be infants in evil. Some people just know how to be good at being bad. Let's forget about that stuff. You know, don't be good at figuring out how to cheat the tax man. Be an infant with regards to that. Don't be good at how you can hide your stuff on, you know, the things you're looking at on the internet. Don't be good at like how you can plot somebody's demise or whatever the case may be. All that, we get good at being bad. the human can be terrible. I mean, we've got good at making atomic bombs. We've got good at making bullets that can pierce armor and then go through and blow stuff up. I mean, let's rather be infants with regards to evil. Not have a clue. All right, I don't want to know. Rather be like that. Let's be infants with regards to evil. But in your thinking, be mature in your heart. For the law is written by strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners. I will speak to this people. Even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. While prophecy is a sign, it's a wonder. Not for unbelievers but for believers. One is a sign that confuses. The other is a sign that says, wow. If therefore the whole church comes together and we all speak in tongues, the outsider, an unbeliever, he's not going to be saying, wow. He's going to be like, what's this? They will not say that you're out of your mind. But if you all prophesy, that's when the church is saying, wow, because they're seeing the unbeliever or outsider enters and he's convicted all of a sudden. And he's called to account by all. And the secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. So what then, brothers? Verse 26. When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation. In other words, you've been building yourself up in the week. Now you're going to come together. Now you want to build others up. And some of you are going to have a hymn that just built you up. You want to build others up with it. Some of you are going to have a lesson. Maybe Brad will have the lesson, but there can be a little lesson. Maybe someone will have a revelation or a tongue or an interpretation. So we come with the stuff that's built us up. And we come together. Let all things be done for building up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be one or two or three at most, and in each turn, and let them someone interpret. But if there's no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and keep or speak to himself and God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh up what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Guys, a lot of this, you know, I get scared when I hear people speak negatively of the church. I get scared when people are not building up the church. And I'm like, oh God, fill their hearts again. Fill their hearts again with your spirit. Fill your hearts with love. Let them be built up in their days, themselves, by your word, by prayer, whatever it is. Because when we come together, you can hear when somebody's been built up. They are encouraging the church. They're loving the church. They, oh man, the church is forgiven. Oh yes, we all stumble in many ways, but Jesus has forgiven and strengthens. I tell you, there's so much good that we can do by what we say about the church and in the church and to each other. It's a whole other world when we speak wonderfully about the church. Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, for only what is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Ephesians 5 verse 4, "Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking." I sometimes talk foolish, but anyway, it says, "Let there be none which are out of place, for instead, let there be thanksgiving." Colossians 3 verse 8, "But now you must put away all anger and all wrath and all malice and all slander and all obscene talk from your mouth." Colossians 4 verse 6, "Let your speech always be gracious and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." This is a killer. Proverbs 15 verse 1, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs anger." So, while the worship team come up, three things that are going to help us: read, pray, and bless. Just those three practical things. Read, pray, bless. We're going to do that. Read. I love this. Psalm 12, verse 6. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times over." Paul says in Acts, when he's leaving the Ephesian church and Ephesian elders after he's ministered to them and he's leaving them, he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst those who are being sanctified." So let's get into that word that builds us up. Let's get into that amazing, that crucible of that furnace that is purified seven times over. If you don't feel pure, go to the pure word. And God is not keeping it back from you. He wants to give it to you. He wants to release his word over you. Pray. Jude 20 says this, "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit." Pray. It'll build you up. I reckon we'd have a lot less insecure people and a lot less broken people, and a lot less people needing counseling after counseling after counseling for every kind of thing. We'd have a lot less frustrated people, a lot less tired people. I'm speaking to myself. If we just went to the source that gave us life, hello? If we read the word, man, you read the news, it doesn't lift you up. If you've got the guts to read the news, make sure you've got the word to overcome it. As much newspaper as you read, you should be reading the Bible more. Hello? As much Facebook... Facebook... what's the thing? Yeah, your feed. As much of your Facebook feed that you scroll through hour after hour, day after day, taking in all everyone's opinion. Have the word in you. Just scroll through Jesus' Facebook feed. You'll see his face in that book. Ephesians 6, verse 16 to 20. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Praying for the saints. Check this. You built yourself up. Now you want to pray for the people to be built up. And also for me, that words may be given me. This is Paul saying to the church. Pray for me that words may be given me, that in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And then from word to prayer to bless. Bless. 1 Peter 3 verse 8 to 12. Finally, all of you, finally, wrapping up, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, or bad attitude for bad attitude. But on the contrary, bless. Bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Who wants to obtain a blessing today? Who wants to obtain a blessing? Anyone? Are you hungry? Do you want a blessing? I want to give you a blessing. Bless God. I don't normally preach like that. But you know what? God wants to give you a blessing. But how are you going to get it? Bless. What are your names? You guys. Rowan and Lauren. And Abigail. Beautiful, man. Bro, bless your wife. And lay your hand on her stomach and bless Abigail. And Lord, we speak even now. We speak blessing over that child, over that birth, over everything, Lord, going just so amazingly, God. We thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. Lord, it talks about the curse which results in pain in childbirth. We pray that removed in Jesus' name. And blessing is received right now. And only blessing as that baby is born. And blessing as that couple see their child well and healthy in every way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Beautiful. Blessing. Blessing, blessing, blessing. So it says this in verse 10. Whoever desires to love life. Who wants to love life? Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil, gosh, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to worship you and bless you. Can we stand if you can, folks? Lord, we want to come before you and adore you. Lord, we want to be like rivers of fresh living water that bless you. We don't want to bless God and curse our enemy. We want to bless you, Lord. Lord, everyone's made in your image, and your image is beautiful. And we want all our focus and attention on you right now, Lord. And I trust, Lord, that your Spirit would come and fill everyone. As we look to you, you would build us up as we look to you. And guys, we're gonna worship him. We're gonna lift him up. We're gonna tell him how awesome he is, how beautiful he is. We're responding to this word by blessing him. He is the worthy of all blessing. He is worthy of all praise. It's good and fitting to praise our God, to lift up his name. And folks, as you start to bless him, it starts to change something in your mouth. You want to start to bless people. You want to start to bless enemies. You want to start to bless this country. You want to bless even the Springboks. Alistair Kutsia, we bless you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to pray. Bless Italy. Lord, we want to bless, Lord. We want to bless God. And as you hear, folk, we're going to worship. But bless the Lord, and then I want you to bless someone. Go and bless someone. And you might have the Spirit give you words, give you an utterance, give you a picture, a word of knowledge. You might want to go over to someone and pray for their healing. And whatever's going to build anyone up, do it. Whatever you would like, whatever you'd like for yourself, bless them with it. Lord, we love you, God.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing. Father, You set us free, Jesus. With our mouths and our tongues, we will worship You like never before. The overflow of our hearts and our soul will come out of our mouths this morning, Father, to glorify Your name, Jesus. As we raise our hands to You, Father, and say, Abba, Father, this morning, oh, we love You. Shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbid to shine. But God who called me here below will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. These are powerful words. Thank You, Jesus. My Savior, Lord, You ransomed me. And like a flood, and like a flood, His mercy rain, unending love, amazing. Unending love, amazing grace. Your love never ends, Lord. Unending love, amazing grace. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship You this morning, Jesus. Your love never ends, Father God. Your love never ends for us, Lord. As we heard this morning, Father, You love us, Jesus. We are Yours, hallelujah, Jesus. and you are mine. Oh, we adore you, Lord. Let's open our mouths this morning. Jesus has given us this mouth. He's given us this ability to worship Him. Such a graceful morning. Such a powerful message. Such a powerful presence this morning, Lord. We don't want to waste this moment, Lord. We don't want to waste this moment, children of God. We've come here with a purpose to worship Jesus. And freedom reigns in this place this morning. Father, your spirit is just in this place, Father. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We made an appointment this morning with you, Jesus. From 9 o'clock to whatever time we're going to finish, you are awaiting our praises. You are awaiting our worship this morning. We've come together to praise you, Lord. Freedom reigns in this place. Hallelujah, Lord. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Hallelujah, Jesus. As Brad has said this morning, that you can feel free in your spirit to pray for one another. Let us feel free in the presence of Almighty God. And Father, as you lead us, Lord, as you lead us with words of wisdom and understanding, Father, as we impart to one another this morning, Jesus, it is only you that can give us these words, Lord, Father. It's only you, Lord, because freedom reigns within us, Lord. Your spirit, Lord, Father, your spirit is within us, Lord, showering us with all your mercies, showering us with all your grace. What else do we want this morning when we got you, Jesus, by our side? Jesus is on the throne. He's encampering all around us this morning, in front and in back. No daggers will come against you when we believe in Jesus this morning. We come against every work of the enemy that is trying to bring us down this morning. Trying to bring us down to go forward. Father, you set us free with the blood of Jesus that we've been washed. We are in one blood, Father. We've been saved by that one blood this morning. We've been saved by that one spirit this morning. We've been saved by Jesus Christ. No other God that can save us. Not a Muhammad, not a Allah, not a Buddhist. No one else but Jesus. Hallelujah. And this morning we have liberty. And we've got authority from Jesus Christ. That you have saved us, Father. And we're so assured, Lord, that you have saved us, Jesus. Thank you for us this morning. As we minister to one another this morning, Jesus. Oh, your spirit is in this place. Your anointing is in this place, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we worship you in this place, Father. Glory to your name, Father. Folk, we want to encourage you if you feel that you want to come forward to be filled with the Spirit. Filled either for the first time or to be filled afresh this morning. We strongly sense that the Lord is wanting to do a deep work with us this morning. I encourage you to come forward. We're going to have some leaders that will be ministering over. And Ray, if you can just lead us into the next song as we continue to minister.
If you want to be filled of the Spirit, please come out. We're going to pray for you. We're going to do that first, and then we're going to pray for people to bless each other. But we just want to get—we just want to have from Him above to us below, and then between each other after that. So, if you want to be filled of the Spirit, please come out. I can pray a general prayer for you where you are in the seats, but there is something about the laying on of hands for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we do want to lay hands on you for the outpouring of the Spirit. We don't just leave it to the comfortable thing to do or the easy thing to do. We want you to have the Spirit. We want you to be filled with the Spirit. And then some of you can come and pray for these people, please. Our deacons, leaders, please. While we're worshiping, let's stay in an attitude of worship. You should be blessing the Lord while these people are being filled with the Spirit. You should be blessing the Lord that the church is having His Spirit enter them and change them and fill them and
freedom.
It's a wonderful thing. Yes, Lord.
Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord.
Shower of mercy. There is freedom. Freedom is in this place. Oh, showers of mercy and grace falling. There is freedom.
we're worshiping still. Let's keep praising Him. You know, your worship of God is expressed when you love people. Worship of God is nothing if it never actually touches anyone else. You can't say you're a worshiper of God and you don't love people. So we're gonna sing how great is our God, how amazing is our God. And then I'd like you, just near the end of the song, whatever, go over, if you're comfortable, start with your family, with your loved ones, but bless them. Husbands, fathers, bless your wives and bless your children. Bless them. Bless them if they're writing exams that they pass, whatever it is. Bless them. Bless them. Bless anyone. Pray for them that are struggling with things to have overcoming spirits. And then if you want to venture out and you want to go pray for someone else, you want to just go and bless someone else, I encourage you to do at least once this morning. So we're going to worship and then we're going to do that. Is that good? Are we good? Let's be the church that Jesus saw that we should be. Let's be that church.
He's our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And always say how great. How great is our God. Sing how great is our God. He's our God. Sing with me how great is our God. All we say how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing me how great is our God. And all we say, how great is your Lord. How great. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. Sing to Jesus this morning. The name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Just reminded of a picture again this morning. And I just want you, if you can close your eyes, as this is a very key time, I believe, that as Brad is leading us into, to go lay hands and be a blessing. It's about being a blessing, hey? God says to Abraham, I will bless you. And we are children of Abraham. It's about being a blessing. And the wonderful thing is that there's a story in the book of Daniel. And Belshazzar looks and he sees the hand of God right on a wall. And what God wrote on there was not, it was judgment against Belshazzar. It was discipline, it was judgment. And then you see in time how the hands of God get nailed to a cross. That same hand that wrote on a wall is the same hand that stretched his arms out on the cross and took your sin and my sin, took the penalty. And that hand is extended to you and me. We are not under the judgment of God. We are under the grace and under the mercy of God. That same hand that wrote on the wall is the same hand that stretched open wide. And God is saying, go be a blessing. Let us go lay hands on each other. Let's go pray blessing. Let's go encourage the church and lift it up in the name of Jesus.
Amen, folks. So as we've said, if you feel you would like prayer, please come forward. We have our deacons and elder. Please come forward. We're going to be praying over. We're going to bless each other with words of encouragement, words to uplift one another. Please come forward. Deacons, if I can ask you to come forward. And please don't feel that you have to stand in the front. You can gather in groups. Yeah. We'd love you just to bless each other, encourage one another. The person next to you, bless, uplift, exalt one another. Speak words of life. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you.